turn to your neighbor next to you and say, you look good. I mean, maybe too good. Woo! That's right. So next Sunday, 6:30 in this place is our Heart and Soul Night. And really what that is an opportunity for us to talk about all that God has done in 2018. And then the following Sunday, the next Sunday, we're going to have lunch together. And it's called our Vision Sunday, where I feel like I'm going to share with you what God is speaking to us as a church. So those two Sundays, so Sunday night, 6:30, next Sunday, and then the following Sunday, Sunday morning, we have Vision Day. Those are two great Sundays to kick off what God wants to do in 2019. Hello. Lots going on. And we're going to be celebrating our five-year anniversary as a church. Man, I still can't believe it. 5 years ago, we started off in our living room with just about 20 people, and the Gradwells were there. And Matthew was there, yeah, and his wife. And if I forget you, then I'm sorry. I haven't really forgot you. It's just the light, so I'm going to blame them. But listen, it's been so fun to watch the journey that God has had with us as a church. And you're a big part of that, and we love having you. And every Sunday morning, we get to see you. But it doesn't just end here. Every week, we get to e-groups together and share life and watch God move. So I just want to encourage you, if you're not in one, we've got an e-group training coming up on the 19th of this month. It's a Saturday. If you're interested in leading a group, we want you to go to our groups page on our website and sign up. If you're like, well, I'm kind of thinking about it, not sure, just do it. Just sign up and come to our e-group training. We'll help you. We've got all the resources, and sometimes it's just about getting people together and hanging out. So maybe there's something that you love to do, and there's probably about 10 other people in this church that would love to do it too. I was hanging out with a young guy the other day, and he was like, man, I'm going to make this year the year where I'm going to do stuff. And I'm not going to wait for people to ask me to do it with them. I'm going to go do stuff. And I'm like, man, wouldn't it be cool that if you decided to go do stuff that you invited other people? Because by the way, everybody's waiting for someone to invite them. And then we go home like, no one invited me. No one loves me. Yeah, because everybody's thinking the same thing you are. Nobody loves me. Nobody invited me. So it takes a leader, someone stepping out going, all right, I'm going to start inviting people. So join us in a new year of doing some incredible things together. Right? Amen. There's my beautiful daughter, Emma. Stand up. Show everybody who he is. She's heading back today to LA. I'm so proud of her. God's got big things for her. Woo! It's a sad day, though. I mean, it's a really sad day because the Seahawks lost to the Cowboys. Nigel, I'm not talking to you wearing your Cowboys hat. All I got to say is go Eagles. That's what I got to say. I don't know if I'll ever be cheering for the Cowboys, although I got some Cowboy fans in my church. All right, I got to love everybody. The poor you have with you always. Hey, let's jump in. I'm so excited. Oh, by the way, I'd like to invite you. There's a church in our community up in Round Rock called Mission Church. The pastors there are Ezra and Kendra Statton, and we love them. Back when they were kind of doing mobile church, we actually gave them all of our stuff that we were using as a church. We totally blessed them, and they got a building, and they're going to be having a conference next week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and I'm going to be opening up the conference at 7 p.m., and just go to missionchurch.online, and you can check out all the details. We'd love for you to come and join us, and they'll be having the rest of the conference Tuesday and Wednesday night. That's going on. Lots of stuff happening in January. Man, it's going to be a good day. Well, listen, I want to spend some time sharing some things that I feel like God has given me for the first Sunday of 2019. This is like every pastor's dream. We love these first services. But listen, I really feel like there's something that we can lean into that's going to change everything today. And so let me pray for us, and then let's jump in. Father, I just thank you for, Lord, all that you're doing, God, in this place. Father, I thank you for the five-year journey that we've been on, for every single person who's been with us since the beginning and has just recently joined the family. God, we're so grateful that we're among friends, and we love the fact that you're building this community so that we can experience you in ways we cannot believe. We experience the goodness of God. We are one happy people. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to turn in the Bible to John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. It's the story of Jesus' first miracle as we come into the first Sunday of 2019. I want to just reflect on Jesus' first miracle. Starting with verse 2. The next day, there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festival, the festivities, so Jesus' mother told him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, that's not our problem," Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." But his mother told the servants, ignoring him, "Do whatever he tells you to do." Standing nearby were six stone water jars used for the Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. So that's almost 120 to 130 gallons that Jesus told the servants, "Fill these jars with water." When the jars had been filled, he said, "Now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies." So the servants followed his instructions. Verse 9, when the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course all of the servants knew and all of us reading this, we all know, said this, he called the bridegroom over. "A host always serves the best wine first," he said. "Then when everyone has lots to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. But you have kept the best until now." This miraculous sign in Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. You know, I think we can make things really complicated in life. And that whole idea of complication, it reminds me of the time when I learned, or I tried to learn, to slalom water ski. And when I was in Bible college, I went to a pastor's house for the summer to do an internship. And I got to go on vacation with him and his three kids, and they were big water skiers. And I had never water skied, and so their whole goal for the summer was to teach me how to slalom water ski. So I remember the first time we show up, and they throw me in the water, and they give me this one ski, and they tell me to put my feet in it. And then as I'm in the water, and if you've ever buckled your feet into one ski, you inevitably start doing this, right? So you're trying to hold on with one hand, and you're trying to fan the water in the other direction that you're not leaning. And while you're doing all of this, they're telling you about 15 things you should do while you're in the water. Put your butt down, knees to your chest. As you're ready, you yell, "Hit it." And as you hit it, you pull, and you want to stand up. And they gave me all these instructions, and inevitably, this is what began to happen. Every time I yell, "Hit it," I stop fanning the side water, and I began to lean completely sideways. And by the time they hit it, I was being drugged underneath the water. And so when finally they would stop or I would let go, I would have water deep into the recesses of my body, and I would be coughing things up and feeling like I'm dying. And they would pull the boat around, and they'd be all like, "Yeah, that was awesome." And I'd be like, "No, there's nothing awesome about this." And like, "One more time. We got a few more things we're going to tell you because this will really work now." So everything lines back up. The whole scenario goes again. This time, not only do I just suck a little bit of water in, but I decide I'm going to hold on for dear life. So if you've ever done this, now I'm holding on, but I've lost the position of my body, and I've straightened out, which means the ski is behind me, and I'm holding on like this, and it's pulling me deeper into the water because it's like a giant wedge pushing me deep into the water. But I don't want to let go because I'm these kids' youth pastor. I got to show them. So somehow I think that if I just hold on longer, it will get better. So now when I finally let go, I've pulled all the muscles in my forearms and I can't even like move and touch my head. Have you ever had that happen? You can't even itch. You're just like, "Ah." I did that one time when I learned how to dunk. I couldn't get high enough and I grabbed the front of the rim and tore all the muscles in here. And then the rest of the day I was like, "Ah." All of these instructions, and it was even, what the worst part was, is I really wanted it. I wanted to slalom ski so bad. And the entire summer, that's exactly how the experience went. Until just a year ago when Mark Coburn bought a boat and showed me how to surf behind a boat. That's the Lord. No ropes. I mean, you just get behind the boat and surf the wave, and the boat goes slow. So when you fall, it doesn't like push your eyeballs into the back of your head. This is the Lord. It's also an older man's sport, right? Because you don't get hurt. It's really wonderful. But I think we cause things to be so difficult because we want it so bad. In 2019, I think we reflect on 18 and we look forward and we're like, man, this year I'm going to lose weight. And this year I'm going to cause my business to go to the next level. This year our relationships are going to blow our faces off. This year our finances, woo! And we get all these big lofty things. And then when we start working out the process, we start doing all sorts of research or going online and finding, and we're going to go to this guy and this conference and this. And by the time we're all done, man, we're so full of stuff that we don't even know where to start. So then guess what we do about halfway through the year? We're like, man, skip it. This is way too much work. Where's Netflix? And then you do that enough, you just kind of come to the new year and you're kind of like, why bother? I've been around this mountain enough times that I'm just like, let's just enjoy life as it comes. You know, it's all good. And where's the good stuff? And so I believe that this story is going to help us as we lean into 2019 to actually, and the title of my message is Keep It Simple. And so as we start the story, there's something that is interesting about a wedding in this day and age. Most Wednesdays during this time, or most Wednesdays, that's funny, most weddings start on a Wednesday. And so they would start at the bride's house, and they would celebrate for a few days, and then they would, in a procession style, march to the groom's house, and they would spend the next few days. And then I found out this in some of the research with scholars as they began to talk about kind of weddings in those days, that there was an actual legal expectation on the community that was coming to the wedding that there would be a certain level of food and wine given. And if that runs out or it's not up to par, people could actually sue the family. Thank God we get married today. We only invite like 10 people to the wedding and it's wonderful. And they got no expectations. Hey, have a good week. And so it kind of gives a little bit more weight when you take a look at seeing why it was such a big deal. And not only was it a big deal because they couldn't just go down to Twin Liquors and buy out all their wine, and some guy pulled up with a truck and they put the crates back and they're like, serve it up, Bob! And they're like, yeah, it's awesome! But they got nowhere to go, so when they've run out of wine, it's not like they can go steal stashes or go down to HEB. This means that they know that there's going to be lawsuits coming because they didn't prepare for whatever reason. Maybe because times were tough and people were drinking a little bit more. You know, maybe for whatever reason they didn't realize that this many people were going to come. I don't know what it was, but we find ourselves in the midst of this everyday kind of normal experience. And what I mean by that is this isn't a spiritual thing that we're talking about here. And I love that Jesus' first miracle wasn't like, well, when the bride looked at the groom and she realized that she had no more feelings for him, and so deep down inside she felt like the wine of her soul had grown thin. And she was looking for a renewal. I mean, there was none of this. They were talking about wine at a wedding that had run out. Yeah. And the first miracle of Jesus is this real day, everyday thing that I love, because I think sometimes we separate church and spiritual stuff with our everyday stuff. The first point that I have this morning is number one, is you notice that there was someone there that didn't just stand off in the distance and take pictures and put on hashtags, you can't believe what happened at this wedding. Mary was present in the moment, and there was a problem, and she knew who to go to for the answer. And what I love how it illustrates for us in 2019 that it's not just a spiritual problem, it's the real problem of every day in their experience. And so she's standing there and she's like, listen, I know who has the answer. And so my first point is be present in people's lives. Put down the cell phone. Stop texting to other people when you're with someone. And be involved in their world when you're standing in line at the grocery store. Look around you. Be observant. Be present where God has you, because you have the answer. His name is Jesus, and it might be a practical thing. It's God bringing you to that place. Amen? And so my first point is be present. Be present in your everyday. Be present in your relationships. Be present with your family. It's why we join e-groups. You know why? Why we sit around with other people and listen to them talk about what's going on and pray for them? Because it teaches us to listen. Why we need to put down our cell phones at the table when we're with people? So it teaches us to listen. They're saying now that we're so distracted that we don't even know how to actually engage people. And they're saying because of this technology, we don't even know how to have conversations. And so if I'm going to be present, and what I love about Mary is she didn't just go off to the corner and tell all of her friends, like, you'll never believe they ran out of wine. What kind of people run out of wine? Who do they, these people are lame. Like, rather than offering her armchair quarterback ideas, she stepped in and she knew who is the answer. And instead of making Jesus the last thing that she went to, you know, like she went to first Twin Liquors and then HEB and they ran out there. And then we went to, you know, Ralph's, and then from Ralph's we went to what? She started with Jesus. How many times when something comes up that we run around like crazy people, and then when we've run out of every opportunity and everything that we can possibly think of, we're like, oh, that's right, I shouldn't have gone to Jesus. Yeah, I've done it. Start with Jesus. Instead of offering up your opinion, I went over to a friend of mine's house who was going through a hard time. And I just sat with them. And I just said, I don't know, but I just know that Jesus is the answer. I'm not going to offer up my opinions and my thoughts. I'm just going to start with Jesus. Hey, man, I don't know, but let's just go talk to Jesus. And he's our hope. Second thing, in keeping it simple, as we look at this, Jesus responds to Mary in a very peculiar way. She says, hey, Jesus, they've run out of wine. He's like, dear woman, that's not my problem. My time has not yet come. Now, you know what was interesting is I did a ton of research on this passage because I wanted to bring out the little nuggets for you. I was like, yeah, we are all kind of going, scratching our head, but it really means, and it's all of this, and wow, and you're going to go home, and your whole life's going to be changed. But what I realized is that most scholars were still scratching their head. They came up with ideas and thoughts, and maybe, in, you know, it's Jesus talking about his time where he reveals he's the Messiah, hasn't come, or whatever all those things were. But honestly, I find this as, I think in 2019, we need to make our faith unoffendable. Because Jesus doesn't respond the way I would want him to respond. Dear mother, the one who bore me, I love you. Thank you for bringing this problem to me, and I will rescue it for you. That's how I want Jesus to respond. But instead he's like, dear woman, what is this to me? My time has not yet come. But what I love about this is it reminds me in 2019 that I'm not going to allow my faith to be offended because it doesn't turn out the way I thought it was going to turn out. Because, by the way, there are going to be things that we stand on and prayers that we pray and places that we go, and people are going to lay hands on us and we're going to ask God to move, and it doesn't work out the way we thought. It might even get worse. And then what do? We back off. We step away. And we come up with conclusions about God. Well, he doesn't really love me, or he doesn't heal, or well, I'm never going to pray that prayer again, or I'm not going to be in that relationship ever again. And we begin to draw conclusions because our faith was actually offended. Because we've got so used to putting that thing in the microwave and pushing five, and it comes out hot in 5 minutes. God forbid that we would have to hold on just a little bit longer. You see, what's interesting is there's a moment in Jesus' narrative that there's a woman at the table who's a Gentile, and he's standing there, and she's asking him for help, and he offends her by saying, "No, I'm sorry, I can't help you," and even gives a reference to both of them give a reference to the dogs and bread, and it almost sounds like he's comparing her to a dog. And I would think in this day and age, man, we would be so offended by Jesus, and we would call every channel under the heavens and let them know about this man that offended me. But let me just tell you what the enemy wants to do is he wants to offend you so that you walk away. Because faith is not for a moment. So it's not like this. We're born and then we're just kind of living our life till we die. So faith moments just feel like it's just this kind of inconsequential thing. We're actually born and our life is headed towards eternity. So every chance God invites us into trusting him, it's actually building for our eternal experience. So faith doesn't lose momentum, it actually gains it. Every time you're drawn into trusting him, whether it comes the way you like it, it gives you an opportunity to step in into something that is greater than the moment. But it doesn't stop. Faith doesn't just taper off. It doesn't just end because you prayed something and the prayer didn't turn out. That faith is actually building. The Bible says we go from glory to glory and faith to faith. So it impacts not only us, but our children and our children's children and other people around the whole entire world. So every time you get an opportunity to step into faith, it's actually greater than that moment. And so she was unoffendable. Look what Jesus says in Luke chapter 11. He says, then teaching them more about prayer, he used this story. Suppose you went to a friend's house at midnight wanting to borrow three loaves of bread, and you say to him, a friend of mine has just arrived for a visit, and I have nothing for him to eat. And suppose he called out from his bedroom, don't bother me, the door is locked for the night, and my family and I are in bed, I can't help you. But I tell you this, though he won't do it for friendship's sake, if you keep knocking long enough, he will get up, give you whatever you need because of your shameless persistence. So, I tell you, keep on asking, and you will receive when you ask. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be open for everyone who asks, receives, and everyone who seeks, finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be open. My faith is unoffendable in 2019. I'm going to keep going. Number three, I love this. I love how she kind of ignores him. Like I heard you, but hey, guys, just do whatever he tells you. Want to talk about being simple in 2019? Just do what Jesus told you. Just do what he says, and you'll keep it simple. Why? Because he's the answer. But what's crazy about this do what he says is that means you got to ask and you got to listen and you got to get into his word and you got to be around people so that you can talk it out so that you don't get in your little cocoon and start making weird things in your head, which we do. Number four, don't give up. So in the story, he tells the servants, okay, you see those six jars right there? And they're like, yep, see them? Water. Really not sure how this has anything to do with our what we got going on right now, Jesus. He's like, yeah, this is what I need you to do. I need you to actually go. Now they can't take the jars with them because they're 20 to 30 gallons each. So that means they're going to go take buckets to the well, to the spring. They're going to fill them up, and they're going to walk them back. So it's not like they're going down to the spigot, turn on the hose, and like, yeah, what's up, bro? Yeah, this is kind of crazy, right? I think in that process, you start thinking this is crazy. This doesn't make any sense. I think sometimes in the kingdom, there's a lot of things that God tells us to do that make no sense. But what does he say? I didn't ask you to process the sense. I asked you to do what I need you to do. And so somewhere along the way, they're just carrying their buckets down there. I'm sure they're having conversations like, bro, we're filling this stuff up with water. And then you want to know when is enough. So you get one bucket, and if you're like me, you're like, babe, this is good enough. I went and got one bucket. Can I have a party? I did it once. I did the laundry once. I did the dishes once, and I want a party. Yes. I watched my children once. I want a party. Changed their diaper once. Want a big party. Big party. What I love about this don't give up, fill up the jars all the way, is it's a symbol to us of not giving up on the things that don't make sense, but it's what we're supposed to do in the kingdom. You're always going to find excuses to get out of it. Those you don't have to look for. They're easily accessible right in the front of your brain. This makes no sense. Why would people give? Why would I continue to forgive? Why would I love that person in this relationship? And yet the Bible says, no, I want you to be faithful. If you continue, why? In that continuing, it makes no sense. And every time you go down to the well, you're already looking for excuses. Why do we go to church? I keep looking for ways to kind of make it fit my life. I only want to give when it feels convenient. And he just says, listen, I know it doesn't make any sense, but the kingdom was never designed for us to understand. It was meant for us to step in by faith. It made no sense for them to continue to fill those jars with water. We need wine, dang it. In case you don't know, Jesus, I appreciate that you got us filling the jars with water, but we need some wine. I know what you need. I'm the God of the universe. And you've shown me that your faith is unoffendable because you keep showing up. You keep coming, even though everything in your life is telling you to go somewhere else. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever you have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone. I love this. Number 5, in keeping it simple, give off the top. I find it interesting in the story that once they've filled the jars to the top, he says, now take from the top and give it to the master. Now, if you're a good servant, which I would have been, I would have looked at Jesus and said, you are a fool. There's no chance in ooh-hee-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo that I'm going to be going taking this because I'm going to lose my job. Hey, master of the ceremony who pays my paychecks, here's some great wine. It's actually water, you know. Give your best to the Lord. And then watch him turn the insignificant moments in your life into the greatest joy you've ever seen. Because somewhere along the way, from taking it from the top, my energy, my time, my finances. Listen. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, he says, bring all the tithes, the top 10% of all that you make. Bring it into the storehouse, and I will open up for you in the windows of heaven. Look at Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the best part of everything you produce. Deuteronomy 26 says, but put some of the first produce from every crop into a basket and bring it into the designated place of worship and watch the Lord bless it. This is the concept of bringing the best. When we come to worship, This shouldn't be the most tired moment of our week. I want to give God my best in worship. I'm going to pay more attention than I've ever paid. I'm going to set my cell phone aside. There's nothing more important than me focusing on Jesus right now. I'm going to give him the best part of my morning, and I'm going to set some time aside. Why? Because I'm not going to give up, and I'm unoffendable. Therefore, I'm going to take it from the top and give it to him, because somewhere along the way, he promises to turn that stuff into his blessing. So I know it, keep filling. I know it doesn't make sense. Prayer, reading your Bible. Listen, and you've probably recognized this when I read, sometimes I jumble all the words up or I add words. It's because I struggled with severe dyslexia growing up. Severe. So much so that I tried a couple of grades several times over again. But what I found is that sometimes there's those insignificant things that actually begin to change your life, because it feels like going and taking your bucket back and forth, and you're like, really? Like, oh God, I can't even see the words. And you get about halfway through and you get really tired. My dad would always tell me, he's like, yeah, that's the devil trying to keep me from reading my Bible. Because every time I open it, I really want to take a nap. You can read every other book and fully be in it. And the moment you open this, you're like, oh God, I just want to close my eyes. But it's living. And it changes you. Determine this year you're just going to start reading through the Gospels and get into every nuance of Jesus. And if you want a good study Bible, get the Spirit-filled Life Bible. It's in the New Living Translation. You can pick it up. It's super thick, and it gives all sorts of stuff and backgrounds, and it's on sale right now for like $39. At ChristianBookstore.com, I think it was, where I picked it up for my daughter. Listen, there's always going to be excuses, but there are things like prayer, like gathering together with other believers and praying together. Those things make a difference. And the more you invest in them, the more you're going to experience God turning the water into wine, the labor, the heart, into his joy and his goodness and his blessing. You're like, well, we prayed once as a couple and we didn't see things turn around. Hey, that's real. But your faith is unoffendable, right? So you just keep doing the thing that you know is right to do. Last and finally, and he says this at the end, this was the first time he revealed his glory. When the glory of God shows up in your life, stuff just starts working out. His presence comes and everything else falls to the wayside. When he showed up and they were on the water and there was the storm, he spoke to the winds and the waves, "Be still." This is going to be the best year you've ever had, and let's keep it simple. I'm just going to do what Jesus said. I'm unoffendable. I am present in people's lives around me. And I'm going to keep filling those jars till they get to the top. And last and finally, he's going to bring his glory into your life. He's going to show. You know what that really is? Is he's going to show off. Yeah, that was me. I turned all the water into the best tasting wine you've ever had. I know. I'll be here all week. There's more where that came from. Come on, will you stand with me? First Sunday of 2019. If you're here this morning and maybe you're new, or you're just starting this journey of maybe coming to church, or I just want to let you know that Jesus loves you. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his son. And that son wants to come into every area of your life and turn what seemed like hurt, pain, destruction, heartache, difficulty, and he wants to show you who he is. And when you see who he is, it changes everything. That's why we sing that song, Jesus, you are everything. The Bible says it's really simple. All you have to do is say yes to him. She just said, hey, do what he says. When you say yes to Jesus, it's really saying, hey, you can take the wheel of my life. I've been driving this thing long enough, and I'm hitting everything along the way. Go ahead, take it. And you're going to watch the wonder that he brings in your life. And so if that's you, you just want to say, man, I just need a fresh start with Jesus today. I want to pray for you. Would you just lift your hand today and just say, Pastor, will you pray for me? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being bold. Thank you. I want to say this with you. Let's just pray this together. Just say, Jesus, I surrender to you. I thank you for loving me. I thank you for your forgiveness and your grace. And I come to you today and I give it to you. For the rest of us, I know that Jesus wants to do something extraordinary in you, and I want to say this to you face to face. Let your faith be unoffendable. From where I'm standing, I actually every Sunday I hear the Holy Spirit telling me about you. I can see it on your faces, and I can hear him saying, I can't wait to do what I want to do in their life. And so many times we miss out in that opportunity because we become offended that it didn't turn out or go the way we thought. He's working. He works the night shift, actually. You just may not see it yet, but maybe it's an opportunity where you determine that you're not going to be offendable. Because faith is what he loves. And so I want to pray for you today. Don't give up. Keep filling it until it gets full. Take from the top. I know sometimes it doesn't make sense, but let's just give it. Give it to each other. Give it into church. I'm not just going to fit church into my life. I'm going to actually fit my life into what God is doing. I'm going to be a part. I'm not just going to come and sit back. I'm going to engage. Don't wait to be asked. Step in, because people are waiting for your obedience. There was a whole wedding party that was waiting for someone to be present and point to Jesus. So let me pray for us as we're going to close in this song, and the prayer team is going to be up front, and they're going to be available as we sing this to pray for you and for you to make a consecration to set your life aside and say, Lord, I've been offended, but I'm not going to be offended anymore. I'm going to step in. I'm not going to give up. Come on. Jesus, I just thank you for everyone that's present today. Lord, I thank you for what you want to do and how you are building stuff in our life that is extraordinary. I'm going to be present. I'm not going to be offended. I'm going to keep doing what I know is right, because I know that you're going to bring your glory. So come, Lord, break off the pain and the heartache that others have caused and offense. And God, I just pray right now you'd eradicate it, a fresh start of saying yes to you today like never before in Jesus' name.